Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Before I get into the message today, there was a word that was in the prayer room today, and I read through this, and I just can't help but highlighting it just a little bit. And you can probably get it. It's from Rick Joyner. It's about the church, a family, not just an organization. And this has been on our hearts a lot here at Voice regarding being a family. It says that there are two basic Greek words used for the church in the New Testament. One is ecclesia, which speaks of the structure and the government of the church. And the other is koinonia, that is the bonding relationship of the saints, which is loosely translated sometimes as fellowship or communion. The ecclesia exists for the koinonia, not the other way around. The structure exists so that we can become family and begin to know each other. But you don't find that really strong in the church. It says the church is called to be a family, not just an organization. We need organization structure for the church in the New Testament. There were elders and deacons. That's pretty much it in the New Testament church. The life and the power of the church was in its koinonia. And what I believe is about to happen is that we are really going to highlight, I think all of us, about what does it mean to be a brother and sister in Christ? What does it really mean to be a family in the Lord? And I think it's great that we can have worship and we can take an offering, and that we can hear a message from the Word. That's good. That's good stuff. But that's just very little of what God's calling us to. And I believe that structure is under construction. And I believe God is really trying to get us just to be family and to care for each other and to honor each other and to help each other and to live the life of the Lord in love and community. I said a long time ago when we owned Alley-Oop's Diner and we just started the meeting place, I said a long time ago that if the church would be really what the church is called to be, it would look like a cult. And sometimes I think that cults strike fear into people, and the enemy uses that so that anything about community, people begin to go, oh, that's a cult. Haven't you heard that? We've been called that plenty of times. God wants us to be united with Him and with each other, and to honor each other, to love each other. He wants us to know each other, not just be acquaintances. So anyway, that's just a little, I just had that on my heart. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think in the days ahead, you're going to see a church that's united in Christ and with each other. And it's all because they desire to be close to each other and honor each other. Amen. I pray for that. Okay, tonight we're going to be speaking about living in the promises of the Lord, what the promise of the Lord is. And then we're going to have some time to pray and pray over you. And if you need prayer tonight, we want to definitely pray for you. Kind of first want to start with this. What is a promise? And I wrote down there, number one, a promise is an assurance given by one person to another person that what they say will be done. And it's sad to say that in our world, it's increasing day by day that words don't really hold a lot of water anymore. Promises, you know, think of the campaign promise. And how many have been let down in this room by somebody that's promised them something? And how many people have promised things and they couldn't follow through with it? But a promise of God is a declaration. It's a declaration of His intention to bestow a gift graciously upon us all. If you look at Hebrews 10:23, we read it a little bit earlier. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." God is faithful, and He will keep His promise over your life, over your family, over your destiny. You can trust Him. It takes faith to walk out a promise of God. I started thinking about Moses. Think of Moses. He's in his 80s and he encounters God. He's in his 80s and he encounters God. Think about Abraham. Abraham was in his 70s when God called him and promised him a son, a generation. Sometimes I think, and I might be wrong, but I think that, and this is, I'm going to bypass the 20s, 30s, and 40s. I'm going to bypass you guys. I think the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, for those that are in that age group, I think sometimes you just cash in the promise because you think you're supposed to pass it down to the younger generation. But Moses didn't think that. Abraham didn't think that. And I don't want you to think that. I want you to know it's for both generations, the promises of God. So if you have been promised something by the Lord through the word or whatever, stand firm in the promise that God has for your life. You don't cash it in and say, oh, this is for the younger generation. Are you kidding me? Moses is 80 and he encounters the Lord. Abraham, 70. And how about Noah? Check out Noah. Noah gets a promise from God. Noah, for 120 years, he believed in the promise of the Lord, and he had never seen it before. He had never seen rain. It had never rained on the earth up to that point, because everything was watered from the dew. So Moses, for 120 years, is faithful and standing on the promise about something that he had never seen before. That's faithfulness. In Ezekiel, it talks about, in chapter 14, it talks about these three individuals. It talks about Noah. It talks about Daniel. Help me here. Who else? Oh, and Job. That's it. And Job. And it says that these three guys, because of their faithfulness and enduring, that they would be saved by their righteousness, by how they walked with God. That's in the Old Testament. That's in Ezekiel. And that's because they believed in the promise and they were faithful. So I encourage you, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, don't surrender God's promises to the next generation. The promise of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to highlight that because that's the major promise of God, that the Holy Spirit is that while young men will see visions, God will give the old prophetic dreams. So ask Him for prophetic dreams. That was in Ezekiel 14:14 about Noah, Daniel, and Job. They would be saved if they were alive through righteousness. Now there's three different types of promises that you'll find in the scripture. One promise is an individual promise for someone like Abraham. That promise was specific for him. So you don't want to name and claim that promise unless God has spoken that over you. So that was an individual promise for someone. So that's one type of promise. And then there's the promise of Hebrews 13. Turn there real quick. 13, if you have your Bible. She doesn't have that one. 13, this is for, listen to this. This is for all of us. This promise is for all of us. The Holy Spirit is the promise for all of us. But look at this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Verse 5, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That promise is for everybody in this room. So there's an individual promise, and then there's a promise for all of us. But then there's another promise that's conditional. And listen to this one. It's found in Psalm 37. You know where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust in Him and He'll bring everything to pass. That is a conditional promise. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Are you walking in the fullness of the desires of your heart? He's saying, it's conditional. If you'll delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you'll trust in me, I'm going to bring every adversity to pass. And you're going to walk in the fullness of the promise and the joy of the Lord. That's powerful. It's an awesome. Psalm 37, verse 4. That requires obedience to delight yourself. So individual, promise to all, conditional. If we claim the Lord's promises with the right spirit in our heart, and our motives are pure as we're asking, and we honor Him, we will receive what we ask, making sure that we're led by the Spirit as we ask, and we will grow in intimacy with God. Intimacy is the key to all things. So go back to your notes there, and we're going to kind of run through them a little bit. What is a promise? Again, I've went over that. The promise of God, His intention to give to you. What did the Father promise each and every one of us in this room? He promised this third person of the Trinity that is not spoken about a whole lot. He promised each and every one of us the Holy Spirit. And that we would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a definite result of the Holy Spirit coming into somebody's life. It changes everything. Signed, sealed, and delivered when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It's evident. I said not long ago that sometimes we just do the things that even non-Christians can do because we don't depend enough upon the Holy Spirit to do what He can do, which is the supernatural. He can speak to you. He can lead you, but He will never, ever want your praise. He'll always want you to focus on Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's His job, being within us and living inside of us. The Holy Spirit always points us to what Jesus will do in our lives. Not what the Spirit will do, but what Jesus will do. And He will lead us into that as we trust Him and trust in His promises. I've come to the point that I don't want to at all live in the opinions of folks. I want to live in the promise that God has over my life through His Word and what He's spoken to me. And sometimes it looks to the average eye that look at Job, or look at what David went through, or look what Moses went through, or look what Noah went through, and look what Paul went through. And sometimes it almost looks like the promise is running out, man. And you're going, what's going on? Where's the fulfillment of this? But as you trust in Him and you trust in His Word, then He opens up the door. He begins to show you, I want to live in the promise of God. Not in the promise of any other government or any other king. I want to live in the promise that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to reside in that place. And I want to wake up in the morning. I want to go in the afternoon. When I get away from that promise, I want to come right back to it. And you know, the enemy does everything he can to distract you from the promise. He wants to discourage you so that you'll give up on who God said that you are. And that's what we sang about tonight. I want to live in the promise. Do you want to live in the promise? You reside in your heart. I'm going to live in the promise of God tonight. I want us all to come back. Maybe you don't need this. Maybe you're walking fully in it. That's awesome. But if you're not, I want tonight for all of us to say, Lord, 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 I want to walk in the fullness of the promise that you have for my life. I want to get back in the movement of it. I want to get back into the passion of it. The desire of it, the understanding of it. Lord, I'm in my 50s. Can you give me some dreams tonight? Lord, I'm in my 20s and 30s. Can you show me a vision? Can you begin to speak to me? Holy Spirit, can you have your way in me? I surrender to you. You guys need to run as hard as you can away from religion and run as hard as you can to intimacy with Jesus and knowing Him. You need to know that your words can speak great life into somebody's life, or it can be so negative and pull them down. I would encourage you not even to adopt any phrases that have any negativity attached to them. That's not like, hey man, why don't you walk in reality? Okay, if I'm believing in the promise, I'm walking in reality. And God says this, and those phrases do not coincide with the word of God in my life. They just don't. Philippians 4:13. You know it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Either you can or you can't. And with the right spirit and the right pure motives, God can break things open. And so tonight, may the Lord just give you a dose of passion for Jesus and a passion for the promises. And to say, I'm not living in a lie. I'm not living for money, this world. I'm not living in any deception. I'm living for the promise that God has over my life. And God has promised to put the Holy Spirit inside of me. And it's living. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit is abiding within you. I am not going to live in my knowledge. I'm not going to live in my despair. I'm not going to live in these great revelations I have. I'm going to live in the promise of God. Even Paul said, he said, because I have these great revelations, the Lord has allowed Satan to buffet me, a thorn in my flesh. And as you see Paul begin to grow 30 years into his ministry after being blinded on the road to Damascus, Paul all of a sudden says, I'm the sinner of all sinners, because he understands the holiness and the purity and the love of God, and he has a revelation of it, and he knows who he is. But he knows who God is. So Paul, who says, I'm this sinner, because he knows that he's saved by grace through a powerful, holy, loving God, he can also say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it? I mean, hey, let's just take off right now and run through the mall. Let's just take off and run through the mall just proclaiming Jesus. You got that in you? What are you going to do? You want to do it? You want me to lead? Oh, I'm just challenging you. See, because God wants the kingdom out there. Not so much in here. He wants it out there. And he wants it to move through us. He wants us to look for every opportunity to proclaim who he is. Denny Rogers the other day. He's in the Harley shop. And the guy that's working behind the desk. If I get the story right, correct me if I get it wrong. But the guy's working behind the desk. I guess he's got to go into surgery. He can hardly walk. He's got crutches. And he's really in a lot of pain. And he says, yeah, I fell. I cracked my kneecap in all these different places. And you could tell the guy's in pain. Denny doesn't even ask, can I pray for you? Denny goes right to the knee and starts praying. And he comes in the next day and God touched his knee and healing took place in his knee. I think he doesn't have to get surgery now, right? Is that what Denny said? Yeah. No surgery. Why? Why? Because of the kingdom. Next door, they're giving prophetic words. Why? Why? So you can come in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord of what the Lord is saying, to affirm you and encourage you and to challenge you. This Tuesday night, this is a mixed group here, man. I wonder who we all are. I wonder all the stories that's in this room. But the amazing thing is that God knows every story. He knows every mistake. And every one of you, no matter where you're walking with the Lord, where you're not walking with the Lord, what you're struggling with, what you have victory over, every one of you are His favorite. You're His favorite, man. God wants to say to every one of you, I believe he wants to say this to every one of you in this room. If he had a wallet, he'd have your picture in it. That's what he wants to say to you. That's what he wants to say to you. He wants us encouraging each other, right? He wants us loving on each other, right? He wants us being genuine, right? And would you raise your hand if anyone has arrived in the fullness of the knowledge of God yet? We haven't. Right now, as we're living this life and we're walking through it, you need to be in a place where you're learning about the knowledge of God. And you also need to be in a place that's teaching you and preparing you for what's coming. Because there is stuff coming down the pike. And if you're not prepared, it's going to be very, very scary. But if you're prepared and you know it and you're living in the promise, you can have assurance, you can have victory, you can walk in the fullness of God. I just want to encourage you in that. We won't go through all this right now because I want to pray and get you guys up here and pray for healing and pray for the Lord to speak to you. So the Father promised us the Holy Spirit. John 15:26. Let's look at that real quick. I think you have that one, don't you, Liz? John 15:26. It says, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from who? The Father. That is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will do what? He will testify of me. And so when he's having his way in your life, your testimony is going to be out of the box. You're going to be proclaiming because you're allowing him to do that. You're going to be sharing about Jesus and speaking about Jesus. And he will always testify, not of himself, the Holy Spirit, but of Jesus. That's really powerful. Look at John 16:13. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. What is to come in the faithfulness to the promise that God has for you? He will begin to disclose to you what's coming. The Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you about that. Think about the hope that is found in the promises and what they bring. Who is the Holy Spirit? In Acts 2, let's look there real quick. Acts 2:38-39, just so some of you are clear who the Holy Spirit is. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit coming down from the Father. Now look at verse 39. For the promise is for you and who? Your children. Break the generational curses. Break the way you were raised. Come into unity with God. Let him help you and begin allowing the promise to flow through you and your children. Break the cycle. You may have your kids, you may not. If you begin to walk in the ways of God, God will begin to give you back your children. Your prodigals will come home in Jesus' name. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Then look at Ephesians. God seals us with the Holy Spirit, the ownership of a believer. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14, we'll look at that real quick. Ephesians 1:13-14. This is so good. In him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Promise. What's the promise? I want to live in the promise. I want to live in the Holy Spirit. I want to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I want to be in fellowship with the Lord. Then look, it says, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And then you can read through the others and look up the scriptures if you'd like. I'm going to jot down to number 7, the believer's source of spiritual power, Luke 24, 48 and 49, we'll look at that. It's always good to get a good dose of the word in you. Go through some scriptures. 24. 48 and 49. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate promise. There's other promises in the Word. So tonight, I just want to pray that whatever promise God's given you, grab back a hold of it, and I guarantee you, I know that it's going to change the world, your world. If you're not walking in it, say yes to it again. So why don't you stand? Living in the promise of the Lord, not living in the flesh, not living in our own agenda, not living in our own bubble of ministry. Thankful for everything He allows us to do, but living in the promise of your family, the promise of His love, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So let's just take a moment and try to dial down a little bit. Let's close our eyes. I think it's important because you're not distracted. Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, would you stir us tonight? Supernaturally, would you either let the joy or the tears arise as we lay things down, as you know everything about us and you still love us and you will never ever give up on us. Lord, we don't want to give up on you. We want to live in the promise of God. Lord, you said in your word, if my people would humble themselves. So even tonight, Lord, let no pride have its way in us. Holy Spirit, just move. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious Jesus, would you come and speak? Listening. If you know the Lord has led you here tonight to be prayed over and to receive this message, I just want you to come forward. Tonight is a night that we're laying things down. cancel that lie that says, I've come forward before, but nothing's really changed. We cancel that lie in Jesus' holy name. And we ask for a real moment here that the Holy Spirit would just fall in your presence, Lord. Healing and alignment. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
I'm so amazed.
Jesus, Holy Spirit. Tonight we say yes to our promise. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
How you love. I'm so amazed by you. I'm so amazed by you. I'm so amazed, oh, by you. How you love.
Deanna, come up. I want you to pray for them.
Heavenly Father, I ask for you to stretch forth your hand and touch each one here from the top of their head. Let your rivers flow, Lord. I ask that your compassion would be opened up, your heart would open up and release compassion from the tops of their heads down through their entire being, Lord. I ask for a watering, Lord. Watering on all the dry places, Lord. A resurrecting of the promises that have been set aside, forgotten, cast out. I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, resurrection life begin to release, yes. Begin to cause a sprouting, begin to cause strength and well-being inside that promise, Lord. We speak life into it. And may the center of every promise release your love, your compassionate love, Lord. For without love, we are nothing. You are love. You are love, Lord. I ask that each one would be filled tonight anew, greater than they ever have been filled before with your love, Lord. May it pour out now in Jesus' name.
Of the Lord in our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way, that we would have a right spirit, that we would have pure motives, that our desire would be to honor Him and to grow in intimacy with our loving Heavenly Father. We say yes, Lord, to every promise, every individual promise. Every promise that you've promised to all of us in this room, and every conditional promise we say yes to, Lord, to delight ourselves in you and to know that you will bring forth the desires of our heart. We ask for healing tonight, restoration tonight, renewal tonight. We ask for impartation of dreams and visions tonight. We ask, God, that you would just create a passion in us. We ask for it. Every one of us in this room, we ask, Lord, more passion, more power, more purpose in you, Lord. Freedom. We break through to a place of freedom in the promise, and we live it out. We trust you. Never let you down. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You can stand on his word. You can stand on his promises. Pray for your children. Pray for the youth, that their eyes would awaken to the power and the majesty of God, that they would be overwhelmed. Even today, we want to say, Lord, would you touch every high school in this region? Would you begin to create a revival, a fiery revival, because of your presence in schools and homes? Even homeschoolers, Lord, we ask for your fire to begin to move across this region. Lord, and we also say no, no to negativity or words that are not of you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. May the Lord be with you. May you go in peace. May you hold on to this word tonight and hold on to the promises of God. In Jesus' holy name. God bless you. We're going to keep praying up here. And man, you know what? Again, will you greet somebody that you don't know on the way out? Just ask them who they are. We've got a little time. We've got 5 minutes. Find out who they are. Just talk to them. They're your brother and sister for all eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.